to the inheritance test. That's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, the inheritance test. Subtitle, well, actually, we just started talking about it last week, subtitled Benevolence. The inheritance test, subtitled Benevolence. And we started out talking about how an inheritance is God's head start to us. And a lot of us, most of us, have not had a good start, or have not, you know, we started out with either struggle or trying to discover, you know, who we are, what we're supposed to do. But God originally set things up for everyone to have an inheritance, you know, so everyone has a start. We went into Ecclesiastes 7, so let's go into there real quick, and we'll kind of walk from Ecclesiastes. And we apologize, it's a little hotter in here, so it's either because we need it, because it's such a hot day, we needed to turn the air on in advance, or they did something wrong when they came in here and serviced it. So forgive us. Hopefully it'll kick in here soon. All right, what did I say? Ecclesiastes 7, right? Let's go to 7 and let's hit verse 11. It says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is a profit to them that see the sun. It says, for wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But let's not forget the end of the scripture. It says, but the excellency of knowledge is wisdom giveth life to them that have it. And so what it's saying is wisdom is something people will utilize for protection as well as money. But money doesn't give you life. Wisdom does. All right. So that's Ecclesiastes 7:12. That's the difference. So the thing is, if you know, wisdom with an inheritance, wisdom is good with an inheritance. So it's saying you want to have an inheritance, but you also want to have the wisdom to be able to benefit from it. And we always go to the prodigal son, Luke 15, when he asked his dad for his inheritance ahead of time. Because he felt, you know, just give me mine now. But he didn't have any wisdom, so he blew it all. He blew it all, ended up eating with the pig slop. So he came to himself. The scripture says he came to himself. So to come to yourself, that means you have to be divided from yourself, or the scripture says deceive yourself. He came to himself and realized, man, I'm going to go back and be one of my dad's hired servants. But when he was coming back, because he had the revelation of a servant, his dad received him as a son and threw a party for him. But again, this was an inheritance without wisdom. So inheritance without wisdom, inheritance with wisdom, it feeds you. Because when you're with wisdom, you're strong. You're strong enough to handle everything, all this prosperity, all these riches, all this access has gained you. So you have a level of strength to be able to handle it, right? So inheritance feeds you when you're strong, but it destroys you when you're weak. And inheritance will feed you when you're strong, but it will destroy you when you're weak. So it's not just having stuff or having an inheritance. I have something prepared for us. You want to have the wisdom to be able to handle it. Or as I've always said, working with youth and juveniles in New York and in Ohio, you wanna have the wisdom or the character to handle what your ability or gifting is gonna produce. So some of us are gifted, and some of us have abilities, and some of us are prosper, but we knuckleheads. Like, we don't have the wisdom to be able to handle it. So and so a lot of our delay right now and some of the things that we're believing for is God's trying to prepare us to handle it. It's not like he doesn't want us to have it. He's preparing us to handle it. And sometimes we will approve ourselves too soon, or if I say it this way, we'll choke in believing all that God wants for us. So we'll get to a point where we go, well, I have enough to handle all that I want. Yeah, but you don't have enough to handle all that God has for you. And because what God has for you is way beyond you, which we'll get into here shortly. And so again, the reason why we parallel inheritance test with the subtitle benevolence, because inheritance is benevolence. thinking outside of yourself, thinking for others. When I was a child, I spake as a child, thought as a child, understood as a child. But when I became a man, a mature male or female, I put away childish things. And so a lot of times, you know, as I was growing up in Newark, New Jersey, I could say probably 13, 14, if I'm cheating, I might say 15, but it's probably before that, I felt I was grown. Like, I felt I had arrived at a level where I'm grown, but I wasn't grown. You know, there's a whole lot that I needed to learn, and see, if I was grown, I wouldn't have been thinking like a child. I wouldn't have been thinking about myself at all. See, children, you guys are young, your parents come home, hard day at work. Not one of y'all sit back and go, whoa, look like you. I've been working hard today, mom and dad. Look like it's a real tough day. Don't worry about it. Y'all get some rest. You know, there's some beach nut in the cabinet, and I seen some Huggies down there under the shelf. I'll take care of it. Just get some rest. No, you like, wake up, feed me. Wake up, clothe me. Change my diaper. Now, one time did you think about anybody else but yourself? As you grew, I want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. I want to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Why? Because you're thinking about what you want. You wasn't thinking about what it cost. You wasn't thinking about what the budget was that week. Like with the lights now and the air conditioning, we had one of our houses, the heat had went out. But on my son's side of the house, he had baseboard heating. Man, he'd turn that thing up on blast, and it was sucking all the power out of the house. Then he'd just leave the house. He wasn't going, since I'm not going to be here, I'm going to turn this down. No, he didn't care. Why? Because he wasn't paying the bill. He was thinking like a child. He would walk in the house. Mr. Samuel, in our other house, we had all these trees outside the house. He would walk the leaves in the house. What's up, y'all? Like, walk the leaves. I mean, because the leaves would pile up. We had these huge oak trees. He'd walk the leaves right in the house. Now, one time did he think, man, why not, get up these leaves? I just say those, let dad get them up. Why? Because he was thinking like a child. So God wants us to start to think out of ourselves, because if he gives us an inheritance, it's supposed to, remember we talked about last week, a three-generational impact. Blessed is the man that leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So he's established the inheritance, that's within his generation, but he's leaving enough that's going beyond his kids and impacting his kids' kids, right? So why? Because God is trying to disperse something in the earth, and let's just keep going, because that actually is a review. All right, so we said inheritance is benevolence. It's about sharing and caring. It's about sharing and caring, right? There's a scripture in 2 Chronicles 21:20. It says that the man departed, right? It says without being desired. So that means when he died, nobody cared. Nobody needed nothing. Nobody was like, oh, no, he ain't gone, is he? It was like they didn't really need to do a funeral because wasn't nobody showing up. Nobody needed any memorial. Do you want to leave and no one needs you or what you have? No one is appreciative because of the start that you gave them. Like, no one is excited because, man, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be in this position. Like, in this life right now, is anybody moved to search for you, to visit you? Because of the impact that you have on their life. Are people looking for you right now? I went to New Jersey, so we were going to, because I'm from Newark, so we was going to Newark, but my ex-coach does something called hoop groups in Neptune. And so he produces all types of talent out of that hoop group. So I hadn't seen him, and I've been trying to search for him, because his last picture of me is, well, put it this way, I was a little trip. So I was, but to go to see him, you got to go up, if anybody went to New Jersey, and go over east to get to Ocean City to go to Neptune. It's not a straight shot from here. It's not 85, 95, bam, I'm there. But we went there, but they was doing a Bobby Hurley camp, so he wasn't there. But I'm searching for him. Because he's had an impact. He's had an impact on so many lives throughout that area, just, male and female. But who looking for you? Who looking for you because of the impact you have on their life? Or are you so thinking about yourself, so caught up in your own world, people just happy that you're not around? So again, we said an inheritance should have at least a three generational impact. And of course, Proverbs 13, blessed man that leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And if you do it right, inheritance is time and limitless. If we do it right, we'll create such an atmosphere that we live even though we're gone. Right? If we do it right. You know, it's just people come to a memorial service and you cry, oh, God, if you really miss them, live the life that they died for you to live. If you really miss them. Because what do you think they will want? You sitting there crying today, crying next week, crying the week after, crying for 6 months. Yeah, they want you to grieve, but they want you to grieve. I think we were talking about this in the car. I said, well, babe, I'm going to write this out now. I said, I'm going to put it in there. Grieve for a short period of time, but get up and get going. Like, get up and live the life that hopefully I died to inspire you to live. Because Christ died. Christ died, right? Do you think Christ wanted us sitting around, you know, because Resurrection Sunday, we highlight the resurrection. We don't be highlighting the crucifixion. We highlight the resurrection. Because he resurrected for what? For us to live a particular life. So what you think he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, he'd be happy that we just sitting around going, I can't believe Jesus is gone, man. Yeah, man, he's just hanging out here. Remember, Peter grabbed him and said, no, don't leave. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things that be of God. You savor the things that be of men. I have to die so you can live. If I don't die, all you see is all you'll ever see. But me dying, oh, some power about to hit this place. So you want me to die. See, so when we pass away, are we creating some power? Does it create a momentum for all the lives after us? And that's what inheritance is about, right? All right, so we said if we do it right, is leaving an inheritance, not just an inheritance, but an inheritance of wisdom to handle the wealth. So we leave, remember, David was talking to Solomon and he was talking to him about, okay, now you about to inherit this kingdom. And if you stay lined up with God's word, oh, it's going to be off the hook for you. But if you don't, it's going to be dangerous. God came to him and said, listen, because of your father David, listen, you're going to be on the throne of the kingdom. He says, now what do you want? Why? See, we think God just came to Solomon just because of Solomon. No, God came to Solomon because of his daddy. He said, man, what you want? He says, well, wow, like this is a great kingdom. I'm a young fella. I don't know what to do with these people. I'm going to need some wisdom. Just to be able to make sure I'm telling them right. Yeah, 1 Kings 3. And then God said, because you ain't thinking about yourself, you ain't thinking like a child. So your dad taught you well. He says, I'm going to give you the wisdom that no one's ever had. I'm going to give you the wealth that no one's ever had. Now, just like your dad told you, if you stay in line with my word, you'll live forever. He says, you'll have a long life if you stay in line with my word. I can't give you that. So I can give you the wisdom and the wealth with no conditions. But I can't give you long life with no conditions. I can't give you long life if you leave my word, because now you're going to be living here longer, corrupt than other people. I can't do it. When God cut the years back, see, first folk was Methuselah and all them people living in 900 years. Then God cut it back to 120. Why do you think God cut stuff back? He's like, man, these people are crazy. He said, if I let them stay here 900 years, they're going to mess up all this. He said, I mean, we have to shorten these years. But it still is, stay in line with my word. If the children obey your parents, for this is right, Ephesians 6, then it says that you should live long. But if you're not going to obey, well, I'm not going to have you living long. You're just going to tear everything up. You ain't going to leave no inheritance. You're going to leave an inheritance of corruption, right? Not of power, right? So again, I know that's still review. an inheritance of preparation. See, this is the thing. It's an inheritance of, we said, of wisdom, but it's also an inheritance of preparation to handle the purpose. We're leaving people an inheritance of preparation. You know, I watch my son, and I watch how he navigates through a lot of things. And but I watch how he's picked up a diligence and a discipline. So I want to leave him. I always told him, always do what's best. Not what's comfortable for you and not what's easy for you. Do what's best. All things are lawful, but not expedient. All things are lawful, but not best. 1 Corinthians 6:12. So I try to leave my son with inheritance of doing what's best. Inheritance of thinking outside of yourself. Inheritance of sharing. Inheritance of caring. Right? So we want to do that. Don't forfeit the people that's coming behind us an inheritance of a life with God, an inheritance of a life of discipline. See, an inheritance of fighting to see. That's a faith life. You got to fight to see. You don't just see just chilling. You got to fight to see clearly. And we'll get into that here in a few minutes. And an inheritance to press under pressure, not succumb to pressure. I was telling one of the coaches recently, and it's like, man, what's going on with the kids? He's like, you know, I want to get them an opportunity because we have a team. And so we just finished playing this elite summer league. So on our team, you know, of course, you know, I'm not pursuing professional basketball no more, but you have a few of us that's played, you know, college and some top level basketball. Then you have some guys that just came from college, just went back to school. Then you have some guys that's played professional. And we're playing against some people that's played professional. But we were trying to give the college guys an opportunity to prepare for their season. And so I remember the first game, it just looked crazy. Like, we come in the game, we have a lead, put them in the game, we lose the lead, come in the game, have a lead, lose the lead. So one of the coaches said, man, what's going on with these kids? I said, we're trying to give them, the thing is you try to give kids what you didn't have. I said, but you also want to give them some of the things you did get. So sometimes you're like, well, I just don't want them to go through what I went through. Okay, that's good. But you also want them to inherit that fight. Because what I've seen about young people is they've lost the fight. When they're challenged, I wasn't even really playing today, you know. If I was playing, I'd have balled out on them. What? Okay, why weren't you playing? You was on the court. You was on the field. Well, see, I was raised, if it's a challenge, oh, we locking in today. First person that slips here loses the game. Scripture says don't faint in your mind. I was taught lock in, be stoned, and don't take your focus until you see zeros. Don't lose your focus until you see zeros. And I used to say to myself, man, I got to play against this dude today. We're going to have a game today. This is going to take all my focus today. But not, man, maybe he'll get hurt. No, I don't want him to get hurt. Champions don't show up for a forfeit, right? All right, so getting into athletics, it just be running through my head sometimes because I'm an athlete, right? All right, so again, we said don't give them what you don't just give them what you didn't have. Give them what you didn't know. Sometimes we're so busy focusing on I want to give them what I didn't have, we're not giving them what we didn't know. If you give them what you didn't know, they're gonna have more than you've had, right? All right, so don't just leave them things without. Give them something within, right? And actually, that was the end of our review from last week. Just so we all on the same page. But my wife says something last week. She said at the end we did our, you know, when people chimed in, she said, you know what an inheritance, if you remember saying this, she said, we all have an inheritance, but it's in trust. You remember you saying that? He says, it's in trust. You know how, like, you say, such and such is good. You get your inheritance when you're 18, but they're going to leave it in trust. They're leaving it. Somebody's taking care of it for you until you're ready to handle it. So she was saying, we all have an inheritance, right? It's a guarantee. Because we talked about it last week. It was Ephesians 1:11. It was predestined. It's like the predetermined, Mr. Sammy, you got an inheritance. But the delay is it's in trust until you are ready for it. It was the old movie Brewster's Millions. It's like, okay, well, you get all the millions if you do this. So I don't know. He had to run around. Maybe he had to give it away. I forgot what he had to do. Well, he had to give it. He had to figure out a way to give away a million. He had to spend a million, right? Right. But there was a condition, right? There was a condition. So we have an inheritance, yes, but it's in trust It's in trust. So you trusting, this is for me. Now that I got that out the way, I know I'm about to get all I ever wanted to be fulfilled, and my cup will run over to impact other people's lives to be fulfilled. Now all I got to do is what? Meet the requirements, right? Embrace the preparation. So I thought that was big. So you're being prepared for an inheritance that God has, not what you're willing to settle for. See, sometimes we, no, I'm good. I just want this. Just for me and my four. Or I just want this for me. I'm good with this, God. This is cool. God, yeah, you're good with that, but God's not. You're good with that today, but this won't, you won't even be able to survive off this tomorrow. You know, some of the, you know, you think about, you know, as I was growing, I think about relationships. And, you know, you first get in relationships, you kid, you young, you're like, this the one. You remember you thought she was in love. I was thinking to an actual situation, right? Yeah, but you with me as of Monday, 24 years, right? But you thought you was in love. Plenty of time. Well, maybe you was in love, but it wasn't love. In love is infatuation and cuddle hormones. Now think about all these situations that if we left it up to us, we'd have gave everything to that situation. And look at you now. Right? If you think about, y'all know what I'm talking about? I know the people that are older know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know, maybe you don't want to focus too much on it because you got your loved one with you. But it's true, right? And so if you think about how you were so confident, remember you alienated folk? People try to give you advice? Y'all just trying to stop me from enjoying myself. Y'all don't know. And the first people to get alienated be the parents. You know, the people that wiped your butt for free. You know, like, when, you know, they didn't know what you was going to be. Before you ran a touchdown and hit a jump shot, before you crossed over, whatever, they was loving you. But the person that signed on once you start hitting jump shots and running touchdowns, that's the person that gets most of the props. But the parents, oh, no. Y'all, see, y'all don't even know. That's all they know. Don't do it. Don't go. No, it happened to me. You know, they be trying to tell you. And then I remember my son was like, yeah, you went through your stuff. Let me go through mine. I said, cool, no problem. Go through your stuff, not mine. Why would you go down the exact same thing I did? Go through your own mess. What? See, I went through my mess so you wouldn't have to. That's like Jesus getting on the cross. Thank God we ain't got to get back on that cross. But we're going to bear our own cross. It says, take up your cross, not mine. Ain't that what the scripture says? I told my son, good, no problem, son. You want to go through your own stuff? Take up your cross. Why are you carrying around mine? If I'd have known you was going to carry it, I wouldn't have carried it myself. Right? So just something to think about as we move forward. So again, we're preparing for an inheritance that God has, not what we're willing to settle for. So the scripture says in Ephesians 1:3, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And the Bible says, God is now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, think, according to the power that worketh in you. I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So God's all about overflowing abundance because he's trying to use your life to impact lives. And I know we try to settle for, and that's what's so dangerous. So we abort our preparation because we go, I have enough preparation for what I want to do. And years be going by, you still stuck in the mud because you ain't embracing all the preparation. So God, so I know my wife was talking to me about something today, and she said, as talking about a pregnancy, and she's talking about a young lady pregnant. She lost, she had a miscarriage, and so she was talking to God, and when she was talking to God, she was like, "Well, God, why is this happening?" Well, God says, "You didn't want the boy that I have for you." And it wasn't like she was like, I don't want no boy. It was just kind of like, I just want a girl, whatever. Right? So it wasn't like she was, based on what you told me, she wasn't like campaigning against the boy. She just was like, you know, I just want a girl. And so she says, after God told her, he gave her a picture of her heart. And deep down, deep, way down in there was like, no, I want no boy. And it was a list of why. Even though she consciously wasn't thinking about it, subconsciously was in there. Now, she wouldn't have known, but God knew, right? So she didn't get the boy. She repented. Change of heart. She got pregnant. God said, no, this pregnancy ain't going to be like nobody else's. It's going to be different. I know I'm paraphrasing. I'm taking somebody else's story. All right. And so she actually had, she got pregnant. She had children. She had triplets. And one of them was a boy. Exceedingly abundantly above all she could ask to think. Right? See, God knows. See, we have to, what we say at our church? God loves us, and his plan is always better than ours. It's all about everybody, not about us. All right, so if we keep that in mind, all right, then maybe we'll get out the way. We'll allow ourselves to die. So John 12. Let's go to John 12. I mean, it's all on CD and SoundCloud if I'm going too fast. I wanted to at least do the review. Hopefully you're taking notes. Don't take my word for it. Go search the scriptures and see if it's so. Don't take nobody's word for it. So John 12, 24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat," now when it says corn of wheat, it's talking about a seed, "except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die." It's buried and it dies. So it has to, look, it has to stay in the ground long enough to die, right? It says, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It says, so if it doesn't get buried and die, all you'll ever have is a seed. It'll just be a seed. It says, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You see what I'm saying? So a seed has no value unless it's sown. So it's kind of hard. I'm about to explain some things. Let's go to Matthew's. We're talking about inheritance. Matthew 6. It's one of the chapters I read every day. Matthew 6. One of the chapters we read every day. I'm not alone in this, right? So Matthew, let's do verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So it says, now we want treasure, but it says, don't get fooled into this world system and just start to build up or pile up seed and think that's going to give you treasure, right? Right, so it says lay not treasure, and when it says treasure, it's talking about seed. Well, let's just keep going because it all makes sense when I keep going here. All right, so send your seed out in front of you, and when you arrive at purpose, your provision will be waiting on you. Send your seed out in front of you. When you arrive at purpose, your provision will be waiting on you because God gave you the seed to get out ahead of you, to advance you, right? So Luke 16, we try to give you all these scriptures and then I'll expound and then you guys can share what you're getting from today. All right, so Luke 16, it says, "He that is faithful," 16:10, I'm sorry. There I go, going all fast. We can read the whole thing, but we'll just start at verse 8. It says, "The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely." It says, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Basically, how they're handling seed, you know. It says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon, of unrighteousness," and again, that unsown seed or resources that was hoarded and not, as the scripture says, given to the exchanger. Right? It says, make to yourselves friends of mammon, of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you in everlasting habitations." In other words, you're going through stuff. There's so many people that's been impacted by your benevolence, they're going to take care of you. And that's what happened to the steward. Like, he basically went to people and said, "Hey, man, how much you owe? Man, forget that, man. Just give me this. How much you owe? Give me that." So when he was stuck in a position, they was like, oh no, he looked out for us. Yeah, he created favor for himself. But his master said, man, I commend you, man. You use some wisdom. Instead of alienated the people, he ain't gonna beat nobody up. He made sure, hey, if my master don't take this and he get rid of me, I got access. I got people that look out for me, right? You got people out ahead of you looking out for you. So, where we at? Verse 10, it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much. If therefore you have not been faithful, look, in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? So if you don't use what you have the right way, you won't create a harvest. It says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give to you your own? Right? You holding on to what you have, but you're expecting somebody to give you what they have. Just doesn't even make sense, right? Doesn't even line up. All right. So again, you have to realize unrighteous mammon or seed, it becomes righteous when it is manifest into the fruit of its value. So for example, an apple seed is just a seed. It's unrighteous mammon. See, righteousness is in right standards and is fulfilling its intended purpose. Apple seed is not designed to be a seed. It's designed to be an apple tree to produce fruit that you plant, and you eventually you have an orchard. So it's not designed just to be a seed. It's not designed to just exist. It's designed to produce. Right? Tree outside that's just existing, we call that dead. It's supposed to be producing something, and what it produces is not producing anything for itself. We shall be like trees planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth our fruit in our season. Apple trees do not eat their own apples. Orange trees don't eat their own oranges, right? Watermelon, I don't know if it's trees, but watermelon bushes or whatever, don't eat their own watermelon. Yeah, I'm from the Brick City. I don't know how they harvest watermelon, right? Right, I don't. I mean, so somebody can tell me, then I can use it for the next sermon. Vines, thank you. See, so now I can use it for the next sermon. So watermelon vines don't eat their own watermelon. Other people partake of it. They produce for others. They create an inheritance others can benefit from. Remember, Jesus showed up and he saw the fig tree from afar off. Whoa, a tree that's designed for me to benefit from, to give me some nourishment, to help me to move forward in my life. He showed up and the tree had no figs. Oh, you definitely ain't doing what you were designed to do. He says, well, since you ain't doing what you purpose to do, curse you, no man shall eat of you thereafter, since you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. And he walked away. When they came back, master, whoa, the tree that you cursed is withered. He says, man, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. And he says, whatsoever you say to the mountain. He was just giving them some insight. But see, it wasn't, that tree was designed to create an inheritance for somebody else to partake in. Fruit, figs, not just exist. We're designed to produce something. No, if I'm a fig tree, I'm not designed to produce watermelons. I might say watermelons are bigger. Pastor Melanie loves watermelons. I would rather be a watermelon vine so Pastor Melanie would like me more. No. You're designed to be a fig tree to produce figs for everyone that's supposed to benefit from your figs. You can't be a watermelon vine. Right? Even though Pastor Melanie loves watermelon. Right? You got to trust that God gave you all you need to feed, but also to receive. All right? So keep that in mind so far, right? All right, so don't settle for consuming seed. You know, your resources, your time and money. Don't just settle for being a consumer. You know, just don't be eating the seed. We talk about this anyway. Like, you have an apple. The apple, most of the apple is for who? It's not your question. Most of it is for us, right? You eat all the apple. Don't eat the seeds, man. You know, that's what they make cyanide out of. Why are you eating the seeds? Okay, let's say if you ate the apple and the seeds, and, you know, it'll make you sick to your stomach. But let's say you consume it. All you have is an apple. But you can consume 90% of that apple, take the seeds that has 10% seeds in it, sow that and get a tree with more apples. Why just settle for an apple when you can have a tree? And then guess what? If you're smart, you take all those seeds, eat all those apples if you want to. Sow those seeds and you can have an orchard. Why are you eating the seeds? It just it's boggles the mind if you really think about it. So we want to get beyond just surface benevolence or giving or offering. We want to sow deep into the spirit of and from the heart, not just on the surface, stony ground. So this is the thing. Sowing of seed or the burial seed is the beginning of inheriting life. So I'm the sowing, because you got it. This part right here, you got to get, because when I break it down, when the Lord breaks it down, because I'm not gonna break it down. When He breaks it down, everything is just gonna make sense. So sowing seed or the burying of seed, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, can't bring forth fruit, is the beginning of inheriting life. See, God started this thing from the beginning. So as Scripture says in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, lay hold on eternal life. So that means not just temporary life, right? Life in the moment. So we have a seed with just an apple and you just eat the apple, it's temporary, right? But if you take that apple and you sow the seeds, what it does? It extends the life of the apple, right? And then you sow those seeds, it extends the life. If you do this thing right, which they did back in the Garden of Eden, we still eat apples. Now, they didn't, y'all know that they weren't tempted with an apple, but I'm just saying, we're still eating fruit to this day, which I don't want to skip, but I'm going to get into that. So God is hoping. I started looking through scriptures, and it's Matthew 19, when the rich young ruler comes over to him. He says, man, I just want to roll with you. He says, well, okay, we'll do. These are the commandments. You know, keep the commandments. You can roll with me. He says, oh, please. I've been keeping. Look, now listen, rich young ruler, he was rich, and he was a ruler, but he kept all of God's word. Ain't that something? But that's a whole nother teaching right there. I just thought I'd slip that in. All right, so he says, oh, I've been keeping those things since my youth. How you think I got rich in the first place? He said, Jesus is like, okay, I feel you. I said, tell you what, I'm going to need you to pass the inheritance test. He says, sell all you have, give to the poor, and follow me. Listen, see, we be thinking about give all this stuff away. No. It was something else. He gave him a better option. Like it's like negotiating a contract. Oh man, you already know how it is to have everything because you got everything. You done bought everything. You don't really need nothing. You've been keeping all the commandments. Ha! It's time for you to go another level. I'm going to make you one of my disciples. Tell you what, sell everything. Come follow. He said, follow me. It's the same thing he said to Nathaniel, same thing he said to Peter, same thing he said to all the other disciples. And they were businessmen. They fishermen, big business. Physicians, treasurers, Matthew. He told them to follow him. Hey, they gave up all they had like this. What other option could I have? He didn't pass the test. See, how come that's not all through Scripture? How come he didn't tell everybody to sell everything they had? See, that's what we want to do. We want to bleed that over everybody's life. Listen, what you got? I just seen you pull up in an SUV. Sell that. Come follow me. And he didn't tell her to sell that. He told the rich young ruler, just like God told Abraham, give me your son. It was a test. Because, look, it had his heart. Right after that, we don't have, if you keep on reading through this, but it's Matthew 19 through 20 through 30. You can read it for yourself. Well, no, let's, hold on. Where is that? Matthew? Let's go to Matthew 19. I'm sorry. slow down, son. All right, so after he had told him, he says, verse 22. It says, when a young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? For he had great possessions, right? And then said Jesus unto the disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It says again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. And just clear, let's clear this up. So, you know, I've taught it here before, but just let's clear it up. He ain't talking about a sewing needle. He's talking about the kingdom that came through the kingdom, and these camels were going to the town, and the cities had doors that were shaped like the eye of a needle. So the camel had to, a lot of times, drop to his knees and crawl through. And then sometimes he had so much stuff that he had to take some stuff off. He had to drop to his knees, crawl through, then they put the stuff back on. So it was hard to get through because he was carrying so much stuff. It didn't mean he didn't get through. So that's what he was paralleling to, and he was saying it's hard for a rich man to get through because I'm trying to get him to be benevolent, but he's so fed and so dependent upon the stuff. Remember we talked about commit to the dig. So you digging beyond status, you digging beyond satisfaction, and you digging beyond security. Well, that rich man, it was hard for him to keep on digging for what God had for him because he was secure in his stuff. And so, wait a minute, I didn't give you stuff just for you to rest in that. You said you kept all the commandments since you was a kid. The thought that you would learn to rest in me. I'm the one that gave you the stuff. And there's plenty more where that came from. But I recognize something in your heart there. Your status, your security, your satisfaction is keeping you from going to another level where your cup can run over. So here's the test. Let me see if you're willing to release all that stuff. Now, with him, it was what he was keeping him from being all in with God, was keeping us from being all in with God. Remember, we talked about sometimes we're making our things, our rings and things, our idols. And then we talked about sometimes the scripture says that you can make your parents your idols. It says you can make your children your idols. I gave you the scriptures last week, right? So sometimes God is saying, like Abraham, what was his? It was his son. So that's why Abraham once said, Abraham was rich. You read through it. Abraham was rich. Genesis 13, it says he was rich with all cattle and everything. How come he didn't tell Abraham to give all his stuff? Because that's not what would have kept Abraham from crossing over into a place of benevolence. It was, are you willing to give me your son? So now what's God asking you to give up? All right. So again, work with me here. Was last year, our vision last year was kingdom kindness. So we talked about kingdom kindness, so we'll get into it. And because it fits in what we're talking about, benevolence. Being kind, of course, is being appreciative, but it's a life of generosity. It's a life of generosity. Philippians 2. Let's go there real quick. Philippians 2. It's all going to tie into what we're talking about in terms of that seed creating an inheritance of life, right? And where did I tell y'all to go? Philippians 2. So Philippians 2, look here. Now this is before we get to verse 5, is, you know, everybody know verse 5. Let this mind be in you is also in Christ Jesus. Well, what mind is that, Minister Sammy? Well, let's go to verse 2. It says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You were in harmony with the world. What the world says, what the school says, what my friend says, what my cousin says, that's how I'm rolling, right? It says, according to the prince of power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that's how we was rolling. We was following the disobedient folk, right? I lost my page. All right, Philippians 2. I read the wrong thing. I was reading Ephesians 2. Oh, we don't need to be laughing all that hard now. Philippians 2. I'm sorry. I read Ephesians 2. I got all caught up. Verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and agreement and of one mind. It said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, selfishness, but in lowliness of mind, that's humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Right? It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then it goes on to say, let this mind be in you, was also in Christ Jesus. So it says, look not every man on his own things or the things of others. And then Proverbs 11, I'm going to just give it to you, and then you can read it for yourself. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Or the another version, the New Living Translation says, the generous soul shall be made fat. That means refreshed and replenished. The generous soul, Proverbs 11:25. Proverbs 11:25. I just read it out of I mixed King James and New Living Translation. But the liberal or the generous soul shall be made fat. So God's saying, if your mindset is benevolence and generosity, he says that person is always going to be refreshed and replenished. That person is always going to receive an inheritance. Right? And so the reason why all this is all important, see, we always talk about, you know, in seminary and things like that, they'll hit you with a phrase called the law of first mention. So you really want to know, remember I told you when you read through the Bible, we did it in understanding the Word of God class or interpreting the Word, one of these classes, and we talked about when you're trying to interpret the Bible, you want to think about the history, the harmony, and the humility. So there's humility. When I get into this Word, there's something I don't know. I'm always trying to find out what I don't know, not trying to prove what I do. But then there's a history. What was God saying at the time that he initiated that scripture? What was going on? That's why, what I just say with the eye of the needle, he was paralleling it to how they traveled through the eye of the needle of the city. So I use the history instead of just turning it into what I want to turn into, a sewing needle, right? Then there's the harmony. How does that scripture harmonize with the entire Bible? Can it flow with the Bible? So that's what law of first mention is important, because a lot of times what God first mentioned is what his intent was. So God starts the world out. And let's go down here to Genesis 1. All right? Again, we're talking about inheritance and how that if we release that seed, we start an inheritance of life. And you'll see it way back in Genesis with God's intent here. So we know that God made man in his image and after his likeness. We understand that, right? In Genesis 1:26, and the first 26 verses is what his likeness was. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be a firmament. God said, he spoke things into existence. God didn't have no little people, hey, what I need you to do, put that sun over there. Hey, pour that water out over there. No, God spoke things into existence. That's why the Bible says we're snared by our words of our mouth, for life and death is in the power of the tongue. Right? So then he said, let us make man in our image and after his likeness. So listen, everybody in the room, God was a creator. God is a creator. He made us to create. The devil is not a creator. He's a perverter. He takes what's been created and tries to twist it. So Keith Bradley in Newark, New Jersey, that God created to share the gospel, to influence lives to life, the devil had back in Newark, he had them twisted. Nothing personal. He twisted. So I was influencing people, but I was influencing them out of the kingdom. Because I didn't know what saved was. I thought it was like a little clique, you know. You know, I tell my friends, girl told me she was saved. See how saved she'd be out before this week's out. But I wasn't trying to, if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't even have made the statement, but I ain't know no better. Man, they all be always talking about they saved like they some elite folk, like they better than people, you know. So I'm trying to prove that they not. But I was designed what? To influence people. So I actually had people drinking never drank before. Had people doing some other stuff they never did before too. Right, why? Because I was wicked, wicker, twisted, perverted, right? So the devil can't create nothing. He can only take what's created and twist it. So we're supposed to be creators. What? That's why I'm not all into everybody trying to take cover songs and add Christian lyrics to it. Why can't you create your own music? Where they get the music from? We creators, right? So anyway, all right, so get all soapboxy. All right, so Genesis 1, So after he said, created his image after his likeness, it says, so verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Look, God blessed them. That's favor going out ahead of you, opening doors that you haven't even arrived at yet. He blessed them, and God said unto them, look, now this is God commanding, giving them their instructions for life. First mention, the first things God said for us ever to do. Number one was be fruitful. Produce fruit. Look, once you get the fruit, multiply. Look, replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the fowl, the air. You just keep on reading. So it's be fruitful, be multiply, replenish, subdue. Have dominion through the process. The fruitfulness, the multiplying, the replenish, and the subduing is a part of the process, but I want you to be ruling through the entire process. Don't let nobody get you off of your game. Don't let nobody punk you into doing anything less, settling for, being afraid to keep moving. So he made us in his image and his likeness to produce this process. See, again, the NBA, they changed their slogan this year, but the 76ers last couple years was trust the process, right? So this guy's been telling us for years. That ain't new. Trust the process. This is Galatians 4, 1 and 2 is the foundation of Scripture, one of the foundation of Scripture of the church. The heir is differs nothing from a servant as long as he's a child, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. Tutors and governors is the process. The appointed time is when you receive your inheritance because you've embraced the tutors and governors and you're ready for it. You don't get it because of familiarity. You don't get it because of personality, and you don't get it because of longevity and proximity. You get it because you passed the test. Ask these students. They ain't letting them go to the next grade. Now, we ain't even have the, what do they got there? What's the thing? Like, it's a test that they have that you got to pass. Like, what's the ELG? What does that stand for? What? Oh, thank you. So simple, right? Right. But all I had to do was pass my final, and I'm going to the next grade. There wasn't no EOG. I ain't have all that. But guess what? Don't pass it. See where you be. In the same grade. Looking older than everybody. Feeling older than everybody. Right? Right. Why? Because if you don't pass the test, guess what? You don't get promoted. But why do we think we getting something and we don't pass tests? We don't even take the test. We just ask these kids, just hang out in school. Don't put your name on the paper. Don't do nothing in the test. They'll promote you. No, don't do that. That's just a joke. Right? No, you got to pass something. Like even, you know, I've tried out for high school teams, my college team, and pros. You don't just get on the team because you show up. And I just sat in the gym. I just showed up, sat in the gym. No. There's some things I had to pass. I had to show I could do some things. We had a 2-day tryout in college. I walked onto the team. Hey, waited a week. I need another day. I was like, I don't care how many days y'all say y'all need it, but I bet you I'm going to be on this team. I had to pass the test. Wasn't nobody going, man, this kid been here the whole week, man. Put him on the team. No, they're trying to win. Guess what? God's trying to win. Now, God is winning. God's undefeated. Why put you on the team and you don't even want to pass the test? You don't even want to come to camp. You don't want to work out. You don't want to prepare. You just want, hey, just give it to me. See, it's a setup. And God's been, he wants us to be fruitful, to produce. He wants us to multiply. He wants us to replenish. But we have to have a certain mindset. We can't be thinking of ourselves all the time. It's all about us. So God's like, if I give you every dollar I had to give you, it's going to magnify what you're thinking about right now and what you're thinking about. Yourself. Some of us ain't even got to self. We thinking about sex. So God said, if I give you all this money, all you're going to be thinking about is sex. Drinking, smoking, clothes. But the Bible says, take no thought for what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. I know you have need of these things. The Gentiles have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. He says, but if I give you what you want right now, you're going to be thinking about more of what you're doing right now. I just was talking to a football player And so he was talking to another friend of his, you know, that allowed us to marry him. And he was like, man, God know what he's doing. He said, because all these years, this guy's played professional football now for about 10 years. So he says, all these years, I've been wanting this big contract. Like, you know, after my rookie year, I wanted, like, the big, you know, like the max deal. He says, but when I think about it, with all that money, oh, my God. Man, I'd have been wilding out. So the other guy said, could you have wilded out any more than you were? He said, but think about it. I'd have had all the money I wanted. He said, man, I'd have been, oh, I'd have had more options. He said, God knew what he was doing with me because I could, he wouldn't have said that at the time, but he says, now, you know, that I'm older and I've learned some things about God, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. See, God is looking at his release based on your heart, based on what's deep-seated behind the scenes, not based on what you present. A lot of times we going, well, I done convinced everybody I'm the most humble, holy person in the room. Like, so where my stuff? God said, you don't convince them. I'm looking at your heart. Man looks on an outward appearance. I'm looking at your heart. If I give you what I have for you, not what you're willing to settle for, what I have for you, it's going to kill you and everybody around you. And so if we trust God, we will embrace this process. You know, he started us out from the beginning with an inheritance, and he trusted that we would continue the process. And so we talk about, the inheritance gives life, and we talk about inheriting life eternal. But if you think about from the beginning, if you look at the beginning of creation, it was heaven on earth. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, right? I want y'all to get this, right? So in the beginning, right? So that means heaven and earth together, right, Mr. Jackie? So that means for us, we're supposed to be enjoying the things on, enjoying what's in heaven as it is on earth. You know, Matthew 6:10. Pray that it be on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing has changed as far as God's concerned. But so it never was supposed to be just a natural life. It was supposed to be a supernatural life. So Jesus walked on water when he came. But if you think about it, before sin, I can guarantee you, Adam was able to walk on water. Because, see, he wasn't, see, y'all look at him as just a natural man. But the Bible says God breathed in him the breath of life. He was produced, birthed, designed by God. He was created by God himself. Not a facsimile of. And the Bible says that they were walking with God. Chilling. It says they were naked and unashamed. Because they weren't focusing on themselves. They was focusing on the glory of God. When they got into sin and got out of the presence of God is when they start focusing on themselves. When they knew that they were naked and they tried to hide and cover themselves. So they put something between them and God. Stuff. Earth. The world. But it was never supposed. And they start making decisions based on what they saw. And all they saw was the earth because now they had went blind because of sin. So now they're not on. Now they have a choice. Or we call it reason. Before that, there was no reason. There was no other considerations. It was all God. It wasn't maybe God, maybe this. Now people are choosing to conform or transform. Before it was just transforming. Now people are choosing, should I just get mine or leave an inheritance? Before it was just an inheritance. It was all about leaving something. It was about what? Fruitfulness to benefit someone else. Multiplying to benefit others. Replenishing so somebody else can have something. Dominion. So we're unstoppable. That's what it was about before sin. After sin, then people start thinking, well, nah, I ain't leaving nothing for them kids. Ain't no telling what they doing. I'm just getting mine now. I'm going to use up everything I got. They probably going to just spoil it anyway. How you know? What are you basing that on? You're basing on the fact that you just want to consume. So you consume everything you got. You ain't think about nobody else. We have a rule when we're impacted. Like when God impacts us, we want that impact to almost create a tremor to our kids in Ohio. Well, kid, we have one son, the grandkids. You keep make sure I correct that. We have one son, four grandchildren, right? But we wanted to, like stuff would happen, especially when it was right on it. Something would happen to us. I would show up at the college. My son played basketball in Tiffin, Ohio. We would show up at the college with seed. They ain't know what was going on with us. We could have kept it to ourselves, put it in our pocket. You know, if they ask for something, we'll just act like, you know, well, we stretch. No, it was having an impact. We think we do. Y'all don't know all we do. We'd be thinking like that at the church. Something happened, we'd be trying to impact everybody around us. And the history of the church, that's how it's happened. Something that happened, we get some off the hook seed, and we just was doing stuff. People didn't know. We weren't announcing it because it says do your alms in secret, right? But why? Because that's how God has designed us, right? Am I making that up? You can always look at the co-pastor's face to tell if the pastor's just blowing something out of proportion. Be like, nah, she had a little funny looking face over there. I don't know. That might not be all true, you know? She will tell me. So we're saying that God has set this thing up. And the scripture said before we even got to 27, Genesis 1, 11 and 12, it says God created seed in itself. So everything he created seed in it. So it could keep replenishing. What does he trust Adam and Eve to do? I created something. So now this is supernaturally created. And it has seed in it to carry. I'm trusting that you plant the seed. Suppose Adam and Eve didn't plant no seeds. Everything God created, they just consumed. We all be dead now. Are people dying because you eating your seeds? Leaving no inheritance? Thinking about yourself? Styling and profiling. See, so God wanted us to create seed within itself. So, because there's a purpose for the seed. So, replenishing is always later and greater. All right, so that's, you know, we'll get into part three of the inheritance test next week. But I want to just fire us up just a little bit about inheritance, because God's trying to, you know, he already told us something's coming. So, when something's coming, Minister Salmon, you got to be ready for it, right? You know, and because all this time, I guarantee you, we was like, I don't understand how I'm going to keep going through these highs and lows. Could it be you haven't passed the inheritance test? And think about that last windfall. That was just a test. I watched this with investors. They'd be like, so you're an investor, you financial guys. Tell you what, I need you to invest all this money for me. But what they give them like $100,000. So the person thinks, wow. They give me $100,000. They rolling. No, the person has billions. They gave him $100,000 to test them. You see what you do with this. I ain't telling them all they got. They got all types of banks. They got money in every bank in Charlotte. No. Here. Well, man, I got this $100,000 and, you know, my family left it to me. Okay. Oh, should I give it to you? Oh, okay, I'll get you. They're testing them. God's been doing that with us. Because before we got that money, what did we say we was going to do? Did we do it? Right? Right, man? And people like, God give me this money, man. Well, first I'm thinking about the church. Then we're going to put some to the side. You know what I'm saying? I'm have something to invest. And I'm only going to spend a little bit this time because I know last time I really blew it. What happened when you got the money? Shopping everywhere, ain't it? I'm just going to get a little bit this time. But we have a rule, right? Like, okay, God comes first. We're going to put something on the side. But we're going to feel the impact of what just happened to us. I don't care what. If it's $1,000, we'll have 100 apiece where we're going to be spending. Just so. And sometimes, I don't always tell her, but sometimes I'll be acting like it's 100 apiece, but I'll give her something. I may, it'd be like, it's like 200 apiece, but I really be letting her have 200, then I use the others to knock something out to, you know, set something up for later. You know, I'll be doing a little sneaky stuff like that. But we feel that what? we just got something and it impacted us. But that, no, but we ain't going, we doing something with the seed. And we're setting ourselves up for later. We got something in reserves, right? We're impacted, and then we make sure we replenish that thing. Right? So, all right, so what did we learn today?